Welcome to Vertical. We are so glad that you're here with us at Let's Talk About It. I'm here with JC and our friend Timothy Atik, otherwise known as TA, who is the executive director of Breakaway Ministries. If you don't know this, TA used to be the executive director of Vertical Ministries in Waco not long ago. When I was a college student, he was teaching me and leading me. And so it's just an honor to get to be with you. And thank you for making time for Let's Talk About It. Tonight, what we're going to be talking about with TA specifically is leadership. And so let's jump right in.
Great.
All right. What do you think is the most important thing for college students as they're leading and as they're going about their lives in college? There's plenty of things they can be worried about. But when it comes to leadership, what do you think some of the most important things are for them to know?
Well, first, let me say, like, I love getting to be back doing stuff with Vertical. Like,
we love
cheer
you.
You guys on. I love you, Dale. You are doing such an incredible job. Students are so fortunate to be led by you. JC, I wish that I had you while I was. I needed a JC, you know, when I was at Vertical. And so thanks for the investment that you're making. And I love talking about leadership. And honestly, when I was in college, I needed somebody to just sit me down and talk to me about how I could be a more effective leader, especially at a young age. So I love that y'all are doing this. You know, for me, when I look back on my time in college, I was an ambitious leader. And I feel like God had gifted me with the ability to lead and to communicate. And people were putting me into leadership positions. They'd put me on platforms because they believed in the talent that God had given me. But the place where I really struggled was with my character. And so I think that that's where I have to start, is that your heart is it is the most important thing when it comes to leadership. I think the verse that I was clued on to just a couple years after I graduated from college was 2 Chronicles 16:9, and it says, "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose hearts are completely his." And so if you think about what that's saying, it's what we all want. It says that God will strongly support you. That sounds really exciting.
Yeah.
But it uses this anthropomorphic language where it talks about God's eyes wandering the earth as if they needed to wander. But it just pictures God looking for like a few men or a few women that he can strongly support. And it's those whose hearts are fully his. And I know for me, I was the good Christian guy in college. But you know what? I probably was around things about Jesus more than I was like with Jesus when I was in college. And I don't know that I spent enough time in private allowing God to cultivate Christ-like character in me through the power of his Spirit.
Totally. That resonates. I feel similarly when I was in college. Had the opportunities, had the, in some ways, platform or influence, but didn't, like, I was kind of just doing what other people expected from me. Yeah. Like, it was like settling for, you know, well, I have this, like, personality that people think I am or person that people think I am, and I just need to put on that facade. But, like, underneath, I was trying to figure out what it really meant to, like, actually have my heart and life be in obedience to Christ, like almost be even to what I was saying, if that makes sense. And so that resonates so much.
I think what I learned is we cultivate what people celebrate. So like people celebrate what's external, you know? So people will applaud a good sense of humor, say, "Man, I want to really try and be funny." People celebrate people who have a strong stage presence. Okay, well, I want to get really comfortable on the stage. I want to be really engaging. Yeah. I want to work the crowd. I want to be great at that. We cultivate what people celebrate. The problem is when you focus on that, you know, for me, and don't get me wrong, I feel like God did a great work in my life in college. I think He used me in college. But I look back, hindsight is 20/20, and I'm like, okay, there were cracks in my character. There's a reason I was flirtatious with girls. Like, there was insecurity in me that fleshed itself out. I didn't know to call it insecurity. I do now. But I could have used more time out of the spotlight, just really focusing on the aspects of my my life that you know are best cultivated in quiet with the Lord.
Yeah. Did that ever carry over even out of college? Have you ever felt that way?
Where, like, there was cracks in my compromise?
Well, yeah.
What am I saying? Cracks in my character?
Yeah, like, did you ever even feel that way when you started in ministry? Because I remember when I was at residency and even a little bit in starting with Vertical, there's been moments where I'm like, man, this, I need to, like, that's been exposed. There's been those moments where I've had to let people in and be like, okay, I need help in other ways. Do you feel like that's not just a college thing? That could even be like it's college is the time to maybe fix it. But do you think that?
Well, I mean, my story, and I gladly share my story. You know, some leaders are do what I did, and then others are learn from my mistakes. Don't do what I did. I'm more of a here's some things to do that I did well, but then a lot of things. I love exposing my failures to just say, you're either going to learn from my failures or you're going to use my failures as an excuse for you to fail. And that is the definition of foolishness. So for me, you know, after college, I was in Dallas. I was going to seminary. I was interning at a church. And I got into a dating relationship that was just chocked full of insecurity and drama and impurity. So I was serving with high school students, telling them what it looked like to follow Christ. But in my own personal life, I was not who I was telling other people to be. And the result was the church I was interning with said, hey, dude, you need to step out of leadership for a season of time. And that was a like rock bottom moment for me, because I had found my identity in ministry for so long. Yeah. Like, I bought into the lie, like, God needs me. Like, I'm amazing. God needs me. Like, He doesn't need everyone, because I can look and I'm like, I'm better than that person. He needs me. And I think God was like, ministry is going to flourish whether you're here or not, because the gospel is always going to win. And, you know, it was a lesson for me to learn, like, there is a difference between being unqualified and being disqualified. Because we're all unqualified in some way, shape, or form. Like, every single one of us needs the cross of Jesus Christ to qualify us to serve Him in leadership. Absolutely. But then, you know, Paul talks in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. He says, I can't quote it right. Y'all can probably put it in the lower third. Y'all can do your thing. He just talks about, he says, I buffet my body and I make it my slave, lest after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. And it's possible to operate in a way that is so counter to who God has called you to be, that you kind of remove yourself from the opportunity to lead with authority.
Yeah.
You just reach a point where it's like, people can't, in good conscience, follow you.
Yeah, that's so good. I was like kind of laughing to myself. You probably won't remember what I'm about to say, but in what we've already talked about, you have said two of those things to me one-on-one before. I remember the first thing that really sticks out as you were talking about character is you told me, don't let your gifting outpace your character. Yeah. When I was a college student, you gave me the warning I don't know how well I listened to the warning. As you said, there's some foolishness there, but I remember hearing that from you, and I was like, that I need to remember that. And I remember this is what you really might not remember. I was deciding between where to work when I was graduating from college, and I'm like, well, I don't know if I should go to this church or this camp or this whatever. And for whatever reason, I don't know how I presented it to you, but TA was like, I just want you to know, like, those places don't need you. Like, God can work without you if you choose not to go to that or whatever. And I remember being struck at, like, wow, one, I must have really presented myself in a prideful way that TA's like, just like, hey, calm down, little buddy.
I love giving unsolicited advice.
I appreciated it. I mean, I'd never forget it. I'm not kidding. I said that this morning to somebody. Somebody was talking about, you know, changing jobs for something. Yeah. And that would put a job in a bad position if this person left. And I was like, hey, I don't know if you know this, but that person isn't necessary.
Yeah, exactly.
And they were like, that's interesting. So I didn't quote you, man. I should have given you some credit there.
Yeah, please, always.
It sounds like whatever. You learned that personally. That's why you gave that advice.
It was sobering to realize that my talent was way ahead of my character. And that's the thing. You know, Baylor and A&M both have very thick Christian bubbles. Where there's just like a socially acceptable way of operating where you can fake it. And it's not even, you're not like intentionally faking it. It's like, I'm a good person. Yeah, like it's a game that we play, but we don't see it as a game. It's like, I'm definitely not a tool like that guy. Like I'm a good guy. And when you kind of get seduced by the Christian bubble way of operating, it's more about behavior management than it is about your heart being transformed and like aligned with the heart of Jesus. And so like God had to remove me from leadership, strip away literally everything. Like I was supposed to go and serve in this very public leadership role at a Young Life camp that got removed. The internship I was in at this church, removed. Like, no leadership opportunity after years of everyone be like, TA, he's our guy. Like, he's special. At least that's what I told me in my own life. And I left the country and I got a journal and I just started pouring my heart out to the Lord. And it was like, God was like, let's just hit a reset on your life because you're not who God has called you to be.
I appreciate you sharing that. And let's go back a little bit to the Baylor A&M. I know there's a lot of similarities between Aggies and Bears, but when it comes to specifically Baylor students and leadership, is there anything in particular that comes to mind that you're like, you know, yeah, this is actually a little bit different from, I experienced this when I was in Waco, and I don't experience this as much in College Station. And is there any wisdom in some of that insight that you might see in differences between the two schools?
I don't know that I can pinpoint differences. I do feel like A&M has a very strong Christian bubble, it just feels different at Baylor.
Yeah.
And I think that at Baylor, it feels even easier to be around Jesus or things about Jesus without following Jesus. It really feels that way, that like the game is just that much easier to play. So,
and that makes sense. Like, they're in Christian Scriptures class, Christian Heritage class, chapel. I'm at a basketball game the other day and there's a prayer before the game. I don't know if that's happening at Texas A&M. You know, it's like they're getting their prayer fix in for the day because they went to the basketball game. And I think that's unusual. So that could be part of it. That makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. But it's dangerous. There's some danger there. And it just being more, it's easier to even go with the flow of culture, which isn't an abiding relationship with Jesus, which is what we were made for.
The other thing is that I think Aggies are extremely busy students. I think that Aggies are super ambitious, and I think Baylor students are extremely ambitious, really busy people. I feel like I heard about it more with Baylor students than with, and maybe that's because Baylor has things like Sing that take out 20-something percent of the student body for 8 weeks. You know, where they're going to, where here we don't have like these events that take out that much of the student body to where you have that large of a percentage of people who are swamped for that long of a period of time. But I just think that there's danger there, you know, because I think it's easy for students to wear busyness like a badge of honor. It's like, gosh, I slept like 5 hours this week. And I'm like, there's nothing noble about that. Like, that's so unhealthy. Yeah. I just think I heard about that more at Baylor. So I think you have a lot of students that are overcommitted.
Hmm. Now, when it comes to leadership, some people think leadership is commitment. So why don't we talk about that just briefly? Busyness, badge of honor. How exactly can leadership be a dangerous thing if we think it's just a platform and all these things, and then we get overcommitted? And obviously, it's from our identity being in leadership. How can we keep from our identity being in something like our positions and things like that?
Well, so let me speak to two different things. First, I think when it comes to being overcommitted, I think one of the reasons that any of us get overcommitted is that we lack clarity on calling. So what I like to say is there's a lot of people, Dale, there's a lot of people that you can lead. You have to figure out who you must lead. Like you are a high capacity leader. You can sit in most rooms and you could lead. You could go to hundreds of organizations around the country and you'd be an incredible leader leading those people. But God hasn't called you to lead all those people. He's called you to be in Waco. I remember when God called you to come to Waco, like the circumstances under which he called you, it was very clear that you had heard from the Lord that you were supposed to be in Waco. You were clear on who you had to lead. Like if you didn't lead Baylor Bears, you would have been running from the Lord, you know? So there is that distinction between who you can lead and who you must lead. I think when people are overcommitted, they're like, oh, I can lead there. Oh, I can lead there too. I can lead there. Let me just say yes to all of them. And what you miss is you miss being fully invested with the God-given people that you have been called to lead. So I think that there's that. And then I think that, you know, every single one of us has to fight the battle of tying our identity to our, for me, it's tying my identity to my ministry. And, you know, I have been encouraged even recently, like those two things have to be detached. Absolutely. Like who I am is not what I do. It's cliche, but it's just reality. Mm-hmm. And I think that I have to be reminded of that often. Like this is, I could leave Breakaway. Like my life would go on if I left Breakaway. And Breakaway would go on if I left Breakaway. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? And I just think we buy into the lie that we're way more important than we really are. And it's just so easy to find the reason we find our identity in what we do is because we need, it's out of insecurity. We need someone to look at us and be like, oh, you really are valuable. You are really valuable. Oh, we do need you leading this. I mean, who would we be without you leading? We just want that. And that's why the gospel has to speak value into our lives. We are valued at the body and blood of Jesus. That is how much we're worth. So I don't need Breakaway to tell me that I'm valuable.
Yeah, it's good.
I don't know if that makes sense.
That's so good. No, it's so helpful. It's so common for us even as leaders and even for students to just start finding identity and what's on your shirt, what's on the bottom of your email signature that you don't use very often, but you've made sure to put it there,
yeah,
kind of deal. Should we tell them about how I ended up in Waco and you ended up in College Station?
Yeah.
That when
I don't even know if I know this.
Are you serious?
I don't know.
Okay, so I'm in Dallas. TA emails me. I'll never forget it. I was sitting in a ministry event. He emails me, "Would you ever come down and just consider working with me?" And I read the email. I was like, "Nah, whatever." But I'll go down. My boss had told me, just always, if somebody initiates, you need to go check it out. So I went to go check it out, and I started checking it out more and more. And one day I just woke up in prayer and was just like, I got to go to Waco. Like, I think God's calling me back to Waco. It was never on my radar. Waco wasn't cool then. It was barely cool then, maybe. And I remember just thinking like, wow, I did not expect this. But this is, I love vertical.
Yeah.
So it's not that I didn't respect you or love you and vertical, but it was just this like, no, I wasn't going to do that. Mm-hmm. I woke up one morning just dead set, and I had one question in my mind. And so I text TA and I go, hey, call me when you get a chance. I only have one question. So this is a Wednesday. I think it was a Wednesday. You can clean this up. He calls me like Friday. He waits a couple days. He calls me Friday. He's like, what's up, dude? What's the news? Like, what's the question? And I'm like, I'm moving to Waco. I'm in. I'm going to take your offer that you've given me. And my one question is, when are you going to leave? And I just want you to know, no matter how you answer that question, I'm coming to Waco. And that Wednesday, TA had spoke Tuesday, I guess, at Breakaway.
Yeah.
Wednesday morning, Ben sat you down and said, I'm going to Atlanta.
Yeah.
What's your end of this story?
The same Wednesday you texted him?
Yes, I think so.
Wow.
I don't remember the exact dates. I just know that when you asked me that question,
I couldn't say it.
Been offered the job at Breakaway, and I couldn't say a thing.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't finalized, and it was like, eh, well, I don't know. I don't know how
he was like, I don't know when I'll leave, but it could be.
And like, I did not lie.
No, he was like, it could be as soon as this fall. It ended up being the summer, obviously.
Yeah. It ended up being 2 weeks later.
It ended up being June 1st, TA's at Breakaway. June 1st, Dale moves to Waco.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll never forget it. But it was really sweet to see, honestly, that's like one of the few times in my life God has been like, Dale, you do not have another option. This is where I want you to be.
That's what I really remember is you articulating, I just feel like God has called me to be in Waco.
Yeah, and like, I don't even like the word called. And
I don't know that
I was using it. No, I think I was using it. I'm serious. I don't like it typically because sometimes we want something that a feeling, just
sure,
the caution in the feeling, but it really was just clear as day.
Yeah.
Here we are, dude.
It's great.
I love it.
Love it.
Here we are. All right. When it comes to the pandemic, we're still in it. You guys are meeting. I don't know. You guys are ahead of the curve here. We're still behind it.
Right or wrong.
Either way, our students
come to our super spreader every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday night, 9 p.m. You can get a ticket. They come out. They're available now.
Yeah.
I need to come, honestly,
please,
before we open back up. When it comes to the pandemic, is there any particular way that you would encourage students to lead even now in crisis in general? Is there anything that comes to mind for even right now?
I think that what you and me and any other leader in the midst of a pandemic have experienced is we are so ill-equipped for this moment. Like, I didn't get pandemic training in seminary.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen.
Yeah, no one taught us this.
Yeah, so, you know, for anyone that finds themselves in a moment where the circumstances just feel bigger than you, and that'll happen a lot. If you're never in circumstances that are bigger than you, like, you're playing it safe and you're really not leading or maximizing your God-given potential. But I've been teaching through the life of David at Breakaway, and we looked at David and Goliath, where they're kind of in a moment where the circumstances are bigger than they are, and you have three leadership styles in that story. You've got Saul, who lived in fear, and fear is basically buying into the lie that your circumstances are big and you and your God are small. Like, that's how you, that's how you live. Then you have Goliath, who is the leader of the Philistines, and he's operating like he is big, his circumstances are small, and God's irrelevant. And then you have David, who operates in faith. So Goliath, I call it fateful arrogance. It's just arrogance. It's like, my circumstances are small, and I'm big, and God's irrelevant, which is how we often operate. And then you have David, who operated in faith. And faith is, your circumstances are big, your God is bigger, and your size is irrelevant. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think having those, knowing your natural tendency, my natural tendency is fear. More than arrogance, it's fear. I have a tendency to see the size of my circumstances. I'm the spies going to check out the promised land. The people are
huge.
We're all doomed. Yeah. That's me. And I have to realize that. Whereas other people, man, they're just arrogant. They're like, I don't care how big the problem is. I'm bigger. I got this. You know, I want the ball with 1 second left. Like, give me the ball. Which is great to have that type of confidence. There's a difference between confidence and arrogance. Yeah. But, you know, especially in times of crisis, you know, the dependence is the key. Yeah. You know, it's getting on your knees, it's seeking the Lord, it's, you know, sitting with Him, it's inviting Him in, it's giving your circumstances to Him. I mean, that's the remedy for fear and arrogance.
So good. Honestly, like, in the pandemic for me, like, being a leader and losing control has been maybe the greatest test of my heart and patience. And there's been plenty of tears where I've totally failed and wanted to, you know, just yell at somebody or, you know, pick a fight or something. And so, as you said, the dependence piece, like, I think I've learned that I could do better at the dependence piece. And I'm hopeful that even as things go back to semi-normal, that I won't give up the, like, hey, Lord, you really were meant to be in control the whole time. I obviously liked a little bit of the control too, and I don't want to go back. And so there even is some of the benefits to the crisis of exposing our leadership. Yeah. And so that's good stuff.
Control, man, we all are control freaks.
It's just crazy.
You know, you think about this pandemic. I think when I think about control, the verse that always comes to mind is Colossians 1:17, where it talks about Jesus. It says, He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Just a really powerful wording, like, in Him all things hold together. And God will consistently lead us into circumstances where things are out of our control. And I think He's just like, you don't have to hold it together. But we're like, you know, we're Spider-Man trying to hold the, you know, whatever from, you know.
And totally.
And I think that there's so much joy can come from just being like, I don't have to be in control because He already is. Like, I don't have to be in control because He already is. You know, it's either going to determine if, you know, your life is full of constant stress and anxiety or peace, you know?
That's good. All right. Last question. 30 seconds.
Oh gosh.
Wags.
I can't say my name in 30 seconds.
Wags did not listen to my 30 second request. We still love him. 30 seconds. A student sitting there, they're going, what's my best next step to lead? I'm hearing all this information. Seems thematic, you know, character and dependence. That's a lot about Jesus. They want action. We didn't give it to him for a long time. At the very end, are there any practical quick steps that you would recommend And I might add on even a few that I can think of.
Yeah. Well, I think start with leading yourself, you know, self-leadership. I would read 2 Chronicles 16:9 and believe it. God's looking for a few men, few women who are willing to give their hearts completely to him. Figure out what that looks like for you. What does it look like for you to give your heart completely to him and be relentless? Don't go to sleep tonight until you figure that out. What does it look like to give my heart completely to him? And then I would encourage anyone to sit down with some trusted friends and to just say, like, what in my life right now would disqualify me from leading? Like, where are the cracks in my character? What do I just need to, what can't I see that you see that would just hinder me from being effective? What in my life would cause someone to be like, I will not follow that guy? Because whatever it is, like whatever the crack is, let's ask the Lord to seal that up.
So good.
And then cultivate a rich prayer life. Like, figure out how to pray more. Because you are going to cultivate your talent. Like, we're all obsessed with cultivating our crafts. Like, we want to get better. Like, that's going to come.
That's the easy part.
But it's the heart work that really...
So good.
And then the last thing I'd say is be teachable. Sit with older men and women. Take a notepad. Ask good questions. Take people to lunch. Mm-hmm. Like, don't waste their time with small talk. Sit them down and be like, hey, I don't want to waste your time. I value your time. I have a list of questions here I'd love to go through with you over lunch. I'm just going to take notes. Sit there and learn. Be a sponge. Soak up everything you can from the great and godly leaders that are in Waco.
So good.
Take these two to lunch.
Come on.
Where's the best place to go eat lunch in Waco now?
Guess.
Shorties.
TA loves Shorties. It's trash.
I love Shorties. I'll be in Waco in April, and I will be at Shorty's.
I know you're going to be at Shorty's, and it's unbelievable that you love that place. Although I did like it a little bit more the other day. We went the other day.
I had it last night, actually, and it wasn't too bad.
So. Are you serious?
Yeah.
No way. I got nothing to add. TA, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, fam, be sure to take a picture of these discussion questions that are about to jump on the screen. Thanks for joining us this week for Let's Talk About It, and we'll see you next week.